In the sleepy English countryside of Suffolk stands Branlow Hall, a luxury hotel with a dark secret. 8 years ago, advertising executive Frank Paris was brutally murdered there the night before Cecily Trehearne's wedding. A Romanian maintenance worker named Stefan Cădrescu was convicted of the crime. Case closed, or so everyone thought. Now Cecily has vanished after reading a crime novel called Atticus Pund Takes the Case, convinced it contains clues proving Stefan's innocence. Enter Susan Ryland, former editor of the novel's deceased author Alan Conway, who finds herself reluctantly pulled from her new life running a hotel in Crete back into the dangerous world of detection. Susan has traded London's publishing scene for 18-hour days running a struggling hotel with her partner Andreas. Despite the Aegean sunsets, mounting debt has strained their relationship. When Lawrence and Pauline Trehearne arrive, offering $10,000 for her help finding their missing daughter Cecily, Susan's financial worries win out. Back in England, everything feels different, grayer, noisier, overwhelming. At magnificent Branlow Hall, with its Gothic towers and stone chimneys, she's assigned to the Moonflower Wing, the same name Conway gave the hotel in his novel. Room 12, where Frank Paris was murdered, now serves as storage, its empty spaces creating an eerie atmosphere. Susan methodically investigates everyone connected to Frank's murder and Cecily's disappearance. The family dynamics prove immediately complex. Lisa Trehearne, Cecily's sister with a facial scar from a childhood incident, insists on Stefan's guilt. Meanwhile, Cecily's husband, Aidan, now lives in a cottage on the grounds with their daughter and reveals that Lisa had fired Stefan before the murder, a detail Lisa omitted. Conversations with James Taylor, Conway's former partner, and Lionel Corby, Stefan's friend, yield shocking revelations. According to Lionel, Lisa had been sexually exploiting Stefan, using her position of power over him. Lionel had witnessed them having sex in the woods weeks before the murder and speculated Stefan might have ended things, prompting his dismissal. At Heath House, Martin and Joanne Williams mentioned Frank visited them before his murder to discuss a business investment they declined. Susan's discovery of a connection to Sajid Khan's law firm leads to a crucial revelation. Frank had planned to sell his 50% stake in Heath House, where the Williams couple lived rent-free, presenting a compelling motive never explored. When Susan confronts DCS Locke, his resistance to reopening the case appears rooted in prejudice rather than evidence. He threatens legal action if she continues interfering and grimly suggests Cecily is likely dead. Central to Susan's investigation is Conway's novel Atticus Pund Takes the Case, which Cecily believed contained clues to the real murderer. Set in fictional Tolly on the Water, it features actress Melissa James found murdered at the Moonflower Hotel. Detective Atticus Pund investigates several suspects, including her husband, Francis Pendleton, and the hotel managers. Susan maps relationships between Conway's fictional characters and Branlow Hall's real inhabitants, discovering that Melissa James was based on Lisa Trehearne. The novel employs classic detective fiction techniques with red herrings and carefully planted clues. While Francis Pendleton appears to be the murderer, Conway reveals a second killer, Madeline Kane, Pund's trusted secretary. Through James Taylor, Susan learns that Conway knew Frank Paris from London's gay scene. After Frank's murder, Conway visited Branlow Hall and became convinced of Stefan's innocence. In a recording Conway made with Cecily, she speaks of Stefan as gentle, despite Lisa's theft accusations. The recording also captures Aidan objecting to being questioned about the murder. Susan's breakthrough comes when she realizes Madeline Kane is an anagram of Aidan McNeil, redirecting her investigation. Conway's novel wasn't mere fiction but a cipher encoding a real murder. She discovers Aidan McNeil was actually Leo, the former rent boy who had been with Conway and Paris years earlier. Frank had recognized Aidan before his wedding to Cecily and attempted blackmail. When confronted, Aiden stabs Detective Locke with an antique brooch before fleeing. His detailed suicide note serves as both confession and testimony, revealing he murdered both Frank Paris and Cecily to protect his fabricated life. He killed Frank out of desperation when threatened with exposure of his past. Aiden carefully planned the murder during Stefan's pub visit to establish an alibi, then planted evidence in Stefan's flat, a blood-stained shirt, Frank's wallet, and skin traces under Stefan's fingernails. Years later, when Cecily began uncovering the truth through Conway's novel, Aiden felt trapped again. After tracking her routine walks through Rendlesham Forest, he dug a remote grave, strangled her with her own stocking to suggest a sexual motive, then dispersed her clothes and his soiled shirt among different charity shops. Back in Crete, Susan and Andreas celebrate at their restored hotel. Lawrence's payment clears their debts, and mysteriously, their booking calendar fills completely. Susan also receives a freelance editor offer from Penguin Random House, reconnecting her with literature while maintaining her Cretan life. Despite this normalcy, Susan remains fixated on Conway's novel, convinced she's missing something crucial. Her obsession leads to a discovery. Conway had woven lion imagery throughout. The Red Lion Pub, Clarence Keep, named after the MGM lion, characters with leonine features, and subtle allusions in street names and artwork. Her breakthrough comes when she realizes Madeline Kane is a perfect anagram of Aiden McNeil, confirming Conway had encoded the real killer's identity. The second murderer in the book mirrors the actual killer's methods with chilling accuracy. For closure, Andrea suggests visiting the Cave of Zeus in the Lasithi Plateau. There, Susan performs a cathartic ritual, burning her notes, newspaper clippings, and Conway's books. As darkness falls, they witness the Cretan sky transformed into a starry tapestry, and Susan finally feels the mystery release its hold. Moonflower Murders demonstrates literature's ability to preserve truth beyond death. Conway, vindictive and manipulative, embedded a deadly secret in his novel not as justice, but as a twisted joke, his final act of cruelty. Having discovered the truth about Frank's murder, he immortalized it within fiction, creating a dark puzzle that remained unsolved for years. The novel reveals how people become blind to evidence contradicting established beliefs. The community's rush to condemn Stefan exemplifies this bias. They saw what they expected to see, building a narrative that matched their prejudices about foreign workers. Police likewise fell victim to tunnel vision, focusing on evidence supporting their theory while dismissing inconsistencies. Cecily's fate underscores the dangerous power of hidden truths. Her ability to see beyond the accepted narrative cost her life, the price of clarity in a world comfortable with convenient lies. Susan ultimately returns to her simpler life in Crete, having gained perspective on her own choices. The burning of Conway's books becomes a symbol of closure. Yet powerful stories never truly end. They wait for the next person clever enough to unlock their secrets, even when discovery proves deadly.